I love homemade glory hole porn.
Yes. Oh, what was that? What are we doing?
Go on, go on, go on.
It sounds like something you find in your penis.
I got my feet in cement. I got my head in the clouds. You might call me demented, but I am too damn proud. I got a hunger for something outside the status quo. So pull up your chair. We are full automatic. We are out and about. We are singing hallelujah with our hearts torn out. No need to beat on what you already know. Your place has been set.
Hey there, hi there, and how diddly do da do you do there, ladies? Welcome to another episode of Eat This Hot Show. I'm live in my boudoir here in Minneapolis, but somewhere across the nation there is a homosexual in a very beige apartment, I imagine, with lots of crisp, clean lines by the name of Reagan Fox.
Where? I don't understand anything you just said. You're like Michelle Bachman to me now. Nothing you said made sense. Well, huh? Why beige?
I don't know. I always imagine everything in Los Angeles is very neutral.
What?
Women's lipstick is very beige. Walls and carpet, very neutral colors.
I think you're drinking again.
Mm-hmm. Really? I don't know.
I'm very confident.
See, that's the thing with us low-sloping foreheads here in the Midwest. We're not very savvy.
Wow.
And on my right, I've got a fat, bloated lesbian who's beautiful.
Yeah.
And sour in her own right. Madge Weinstein, hello.
Thank you. And I, being a lesbian, happen to be in a purple room, though it is a basement like yours, one turd.
You're in a purple basement?
I'm in a purple room in a basement.
Mm-hmm. Well, how are you ladies doing today? It's been 2 weeks since last we met. I apologize. It's all my fault. But
she's on the radio. She's so goddamn important.
I was so important. Actually, I wasn't on the radio, but the body that inhabits my presence was on the radio. Or the
your holder. Presence.
Yes, what you understand.
You're older, yes.
Have you seen the movie Insidious, Wanda?
No, what is this?
Okay, well, I'm not going to do a whole plot summary of it, but Madge, have you seen Insidious?
I haven't.
Okay, well, to everybody out there who listens to this show who has seen Insidious, that explains Wanda. That's what Wanda's talking about. There are evil spirits that just inhabit her body from time to time. Hags, evil old hags.
Hags. That's the word crone or hag.
Crone's disease.
Oh, Crone's disease is what you have. The evil old hag spirit that invades your body that makes you Wanda Winstom has Crone's
disease.
Did
you say Winstom?
Yes.
I said wisdom. W-I-Z-Z-D-O-M.
Wanda, do you have a colostomy hole?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Should I?
Yes.
Do you hear a wheeze or something?
No, it's just that if you're a crone with Crohn's disease, I just thought maybe perhaps you would eventually have one.
Stop spreading rumors. I don't have Crohn's disease, but I am a crone.
Okay. All right.
So, so much has happened since last we've chatted, ladies.
Uh-huh.
The summer is just hurtling ever forward into space.
Yeah, right.
The Republican presidential contest is heating up thanks to two very special people from my home state.
And by special, you mean, of course, retarded.
Yes, retarded. Mm-hmm. Michelle Bachman, of course, and Tim Pawlenty. And the surprise, ladies, is that Michelle Bachman is far more popular than Tim Pawlenty.
Well, I have a problem with the way, I mean, at least Michelle Bachman's name is spelled the way you would expect it to be spelled. But Pawlenty, that's just a stupid fucking name.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it just is.
Well, pretty much just like him.
Yeah.
Now, do you pay attention?
What? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Okay, listen. Is one of there?
Hello?
Okay, first of all, I didn't lose any of that. Secondly, I have to tell you what happened because it's funny. I have an iPad. This is the second time this happened. This happened once during our other incarnation of this program. Yeah. But I didn't know because it had only happened that one. Now I'm confirmed. I have an iPad, right? And sometimes I look at the iPad for information. And when you were talking about Michelle Bachmann, I thought, well, I should look at this retorted thing of hers that mm-hmm. she said, which is, mm-hmm. you know, pretty often.
One of many.
A guy off. So I take out my iPad and I look at it. I set it down and all of a sudden my computer goes to sleep. The magnetic super smart cover on the goddamn iPad somehow triggers the cover on the MacBook that makes it think I'm putting it to fucking sleep. Can you imagine? Fucking shit. Go ahead. It's a good thing this isn't CNBC. I'm sorry.
Well, for a variety of reasons. But before we were so rudely interrupted by your technology, Reagan, I was simply trying to figure out if you pay much attention to politics.
Yeah, of course I do. I love gaffes.
Yes.
I could just chew on them. I liked it when she said that she was from the same place as John Wayne, but she meant John Wayne Gacy.
Did she really?
Yes.
That's her name.
No.
Yes. Uh-uh. I swear to God.
What?
I swear to God. She said, here's the exact quote. She said, John Wayne was from Waterloo, Iowa. That's the kind of spirit that I have, too. But she meant the serial killer John Wayne Gacy Jr.
She meant she has the same spirit as a serial killer who dresses up as clowns?
Yes.
God, that's so fucking perfect. It's like there's nothing inaccurate about that.
I know. It's the most truthful thing that she said since taking office. I will say this. I will give her credit where credit's due. And I know it's not fair to judge women for their appearance when they're in politics because we don't do the same thing with men.
Yes.
But her new stylist, is doing a really good job. She seems like her makeup is more subdued. I like her hair better. So.
Yeah, but you know what? That's the one thing I've never had a complaint with her is her appearance, you know? That's the, big whoop.
So, boy, if you had to boil down your thoughts about Michelle Bachmann into a terse
turd,
what would it be?
I was having a post about Bachmann, some dumb thing. I don't even remember. I was on Facebook and somebody wrote back, well, at least she's, can you imagine basically what he was saying is the level of retardation in this political circus is unprecedented. I'm like, really? And I immediately went to the person's homepage. I wanted to see how old he was. And he's probably about, I guess, 77. Where isn't that the year you were born, turd? When turd?
75.
Okay, so he's a little younger than you. But I thought, well, he's young enough to not have actually lived through Reagan, at least memorably, I would imagine. But the thing is, I was like, what about Ronald Reagan and what about George W. Bush? I mean, are you kidding? Like the scariest thing is this has all happened before.
I'm so lost by what has happened before.
An idiot has become president.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But George Bush, you mean George Bush Jr.?
Yes.
Yeah. Because by all accounts, George Bush Sr. is actually pretty intelligent.
Yes. Yes. No, I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about him.
Did I say by all accounts? I think I meant by all counts.
By all counts. Mm-hmm.
That's like saying for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
What is that? What is that supposed to be?
All intents and purposes.
You mean all intents, like two words? Like I'm in a tent camping? Like that? How do you spell it?
INTENTS for all intents and purposes.
What's the difference between an intent and an intention?
I don't think there is one.
I don't understand.
But people often say, you hear them say things like intensant, as if there's this word out there.
Mm-hmm.
Intensant. Anyway, Reagan, what are your thoughts about Ms. Bachmann?
I like Michelle Bachmann. I get a kick out of people like Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin and Coulter. And you know, it's mainly like the for some reason, you know, gay guys love the train wreck woman.
She's camp.
And they're all train wreck women to me. And they're straight. I can't hate them because they're straight out of John Waters films to me. They're the quintessential.
Do you think there is something mildly misogynistic about that? I mean, I'm not implying that you're being misogynistic, but the fact that someone would approach a person whose policies and because there's a lot of retarded men out there, basically, is what I'm saying.
Right. Yes.
And only because she's a woman do we find it somehow theatrical.
Right. Camp. Well, because it's part of the gay aesthetic and it is absolutely.
I don't think so.
I don't.
I mean, I don't disagree that the gay.
Come on.
Listen, wait. I'm not disagreeing that gay men are misogynists at all. I'm just disagreeing that we have a double standard towards women with respect to gaffes. I mean, when George Bush was president and before, I mean, everybody was making fun of all the dumb shit he said. Dan Quayle, you know, much before that, he, you know, there were books about Quayleisms. I don't think it has anything to do with sexisms. I think people just like to make fun of idiots.
Right.
Yeah, I think, I don't know that the idiot brand is, you know, solely because she's a woman. There are certainly reasons I think that the media has treated her unfairly because she's a woman or have looked at her in ways that they don't look at men.
Well, it's easy to, I think the sex does, girdle. I think it's relevant in one way. Like, I think she is a woman who is anti-choice. And I think that is profoundly hypocritical.
Oh, I think that's a gay man's favorite thing because we love to watch women destroying other women. That's why the movie.
But not their babies.
Oh, no. Everything. Anything to do with a woman destroying the body of another woman, the brain of another woman, the ideas of another woman. Gay men eat it up. We love that movie, The Black Swan, Showgirls, Basic Instinct. We love to watch women destroying other women. And so that's part of the appeal of women like Michelle Bachmann and What's Her Fuck from Alaska. Because, I love women who run for – a lot of people get really frustrated with hypocrisy and they're like, oh, you're sending out mixed messages. And in one breath you say this and in another you say that. I love it. I revel in it. I celebrate it. I think it's hysterically funny. So I love having a woman like Michelle Bachmann who can come up and say shit like, you know, a woman's place isn't in the public sphere. And yet she's running for office. I love stuff like that.
Well, delicious. She wouldn't say something like that. But you know who did was like Phyllis Schlafly, who... You know, she made a career saying women shouldn't have careers.
I love that, though. Because ultimately, if women can just destroy one another, that leaves all the straight men to us.
That is such a weird theory.
Well, sorry. It's mine. It's mine, and I have a PhD. And so my theory means I have ethos. And
you eat those?
What I think is what I would think would be a terrible travesty is that what she represents and what she means gets diluted down into just batshit crazy. Like she is batshit crazy, sure, but there is something unique about her success in a way that is far more calculating and far more ideological than like Sarah Palin.
She's very smart.
Sarah Palin is theater of the absurd. Now I've seen Michelle Bachmann for the last decade sort of rise to the point where she's now running for the highest office in the land. And when I first was made aware of her, it was like about 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, when she, you know, we were laughing at her because she was
hiding
in the bushes behind a gay rights rally and running from restrooms that she was claiming lesbians were holding her against her will.
That's the first time I heard of her too, was when you were talking about her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, everybody over the last decade has just sort of wanted to write her off as batshit crazy. Well, batshit crazy there's more to her than that in a way that there's not with Sarah Palin, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, because she panders to the base. Anybody who panders to the base is going to be the biggest star going into, you know, their respective, what's the word that I'm looking for?
Primary.
Not caucuses, but the
muscles. Primary. Huh? Huh? Mm. Huh?
Primary.
Chuckles.
But she is a lesbian.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know that her husband runs a Christian-based counseling outfit?
Yes.
Which I am just so excited. Like, the, you know, I wrote in an article for...
Is it for
little girls?
Mm-hmm. For what?
Little girls.
Knock, knock. Hi, I'm selling Bachman cookies. I'm a little girl and I'm selling Bachman cookies. Would you like a Bachman cookie and lemonade, please, Miss Wisdom?
Get out of my yard.
I'm a little girl.
Yes.
Anywho, I just can't wait for the sunlight to start shining on her husband's Christian-based counseling.
Yeah. You know what's brilliant about her, though, is, and I want to come back to that, too, in her lesbianism, but what's funny about her is, like, there was somebody, you know, she was talking about how somebody was reporting on her farm stealing all this money or some bullshit, you know. She had a farm where she supposedly subsidized, you know, she had money from the government and she took and gave it to her in-laws or something like that. And this reporter was asking her about it. And she somehow magically deflected it to Barack Obama's limousines. She's like, well, what we should be worried about are Barack Obama's limousines. You know, you said limousines are up. Like, well, wow.
That's her genius as a politician, is she is so Teflon.
Yeah.
I mean, you can...
She's a walking Saturday Night Live parody. I mean, she's a writer's dream. She gives writers days off.
Wanda, it's so funny that you describe her as Teflon, because that's really what it takes to be a good politician. You know the switch when you start talking bullshit to somebody and there's like a little switch that goes off in your head where you're just thinking, you know what? I cannot say these things that are coming out of my mouth. I have to stop right now because I don't believe a word that's coming out of my mouth. Like, yeah. I realize I'm being manipulative and I just need to shut it off. I need to stop. Really good politicians, even if we may not agree with them, they don't have that switch.
Absolutely.
I don't think I have that switch either, because it doesn't ring a bell what you're describing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I absolutely know what you're talking about, because I will find myself stopping midway through an explanation saying, and I'm full of complete bullshit at this point.
Right,
so.
Right,
I just forget what I'm talking about.
That's because you're old.
You have Alzheimer's. Crone. That's called Alzheimer's.
Lesbian.
Okay, no, so the other... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, but it reminds me of... Remember Howard Dean going into the primaries where, what's his name, won? Oh, God. I'm sorry. I just woke up, so my brain is not. Yeah, John Kerry won. Everybody thought, oh, well, Howard Dean has this locked up. He's definitely going to win it, because Howard Dean was the one who was most ideologically to the left. Not the most, I think, because they had... you know, a few others, like, oh, what's the black guy's name? My brain
Barack
is not
Obama?
Not Barack Obama.
Nipsey Russell.
Oh, no, you're talking about Al Sharpton.
Al Sharpton, yeah, who I love.
I love, I would have voted
Bill
for
Cosby?
Him. Bill Cosby.
Pudding!
No cursing! Okay, sorry, that's all I had to say. But anyway, and the point being that after the first primary, he got, I think, third. You know, he wasn't even close. That's when he did the infamous scream, where he said, we're gonna go to this place, and blah! So let her have her moment in the sun.
Yeah, this is her last greatest, because the other horrible analogy that I drew was by saying she's like a Hitler without a Germany in the 1930s. Like, she can't possibly take fire or,
right,
you know, in a climate that it does not want that type of politician.
I think it'll definitely be Romney.
Don't you think there's some sort of a weird thing, like Stacey Herbert was pointing out to me, because I was like pointing out on my Facebook, I'm like, this is so weird. Like, you have all this tremendous social progress, like New York legalizing gay marriage on one side, and then you have Michelle Bachman, you know, coming out against gay marriage, and you have this douchebag who runs Wisconsin closing down all the Planned Parenthood clinics. Like,
yeah, but you know what else was interesting is you also had John Huntsman saying that, like, the almost the exact opposite. His position on civil unions was practically that of Obama, And that is not a voice you hear. And now, granted, he's not, you know, probably going to win the nomination, but
he's a Republican.
Yeah, he was the guy that was the ambassador to China that Barack Obama appointed. But
Republicans are increasingly starting to support gay marriage because I think they finally realize that they're on the wrong side of history and they're going to alienate a ton of people, especially. Yeah. I mean, they're concerned with the younger vote now. And so now we're having people increasingly jumping ship. In fact, I read a whole article about how the GOP now, you know, basically everything that I just said is realizing this fact. So, and this is one of the things that I really don't like about Barack Obama. And every time I say this, I, you know, and I'm sure I'll have like tons of comments with people racist. Trying to fight me on this, but I know, racist. But one of the things that I don't like about him is that I find him not to be a leader. I find him to be, especially when it comes to civil rights, I find him to be quite the follower, and he'll go wherever the winds take him. And, you know, when he was a state senator, he was in favor of gay marriage, and then he runs for office, and then suddenly, you know, it becomes a religious issue for him, and now he claims he hides behind this cliche that, you know, oh, my attitudes about this are evolving. They're not evolving. They're just doing whatever public opinion tells him.
It's a little bit, I see it. Yes, I think that's true. But I also think it's true. I honestly go back and forth on it because it definitely bothers me. And more of me is bothered by that than not. Because, you know, it really bothers me that he doesn't stick to principles. Yet I always see Republicans sticking to their principles about abortion. I mean, you don't see Michelle Bachmann saying, well, maybe I hate gays. Maybe today I don't hate gays. You know, there's no weather thing.
I think there's very much a spirit in all of us that wants to have somebody who's willing to draw lines in the sand and stick to their guns. Yeah. But the reality of the democracy that we live in is that that's just not going to happen. We're never going to allow somebody the power to do whatever it is that they believe is in, you know, that they should do. Now,
but don't you think that Republicans do it a little bit more than Democrats?
They do, but even when they get into power, they don't follow through with that. I mean, George Bush was pissed off his conservative base. That's what George Bush was so good at, and I think what conservatives are so good at, is lying to their base in a way that motivates and turns into political support. So they're able to cash in image that they stand true to their principles.
You know what I think is really interesting is that when I look at, and it's never talked about, it really bothers me though, but these things that the gay rights cause has brought up since Obama's been president, the two main things, gay marriage and repeal of DOMA. Not gay marriage. Repeal of DOMA and Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Both of those were things implemented by another Democrat president in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just weird.
That's a little bit of a, because I used to say this as well, but I mean, the fact of the matter was those were Clintonian compromises.
Right.
So for instance, so it wasn't like, I think something like Don't Ask, Don't Tell is incredibly homophobic and I hate it. And it's very easy to look back and kind of retroactively cast judgment on it. But at the time, the Don't Ask, what came to be known as the Don't Ask, Don't Tell hearings, they wanted to completely ban gays from the military. And
But any compromise that you have to work 20 years to undo is not a good compromise.
And keep in mind that it was unfortunately his bad strategy of trying to go whole hog from, you know, the first moment he was elected
to compromise. And I think this is the lesson Obama should have learned that he's not learning, is that you don't always compromise.
Right.
And that's the problem I have with him.
I think just on a philosophical level or just on a personal level, it's hard to watch a man like Obama who, I think it's okay to ascribe these things to him. You just know that he supports gay marriage, but I think we understand that he is in a political climate that does not allow him to do that, and that's sad.
But I agree with you, but I question my intuition about Obama because some of his actions have been so contrary to what I would have intuited.
Yeah, see, my problem with it is I hate it when I'm watching a show like The View and somebody who is conservative, like Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who actually supports gay marriage, what she says in defense of legislation that bans gay marriage is, well, how can you get so worked up when your very own president doesn't even support it?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like when he doesn't take a stand, he gives even more ammunition to his political opponents.
Right.
And,
right.
And we are unfortunately the capital that he's playing with.
And it's just weird. And it's so, it's, you know, I get what he's doing and it's effective in a way. And obviously there's been a lot of progress made, but it's so inherently dishonest.
Yeah.
That even if it's effective, it really bothers me because it's so dishonest. We're not psychics. We're all not Sylvia Brown. We don't know what they're thinking. We shouldn't have to guess what they really mean when they say something that's complete opposite. I'm sorry, but that's just bullshit and it's unacceptable.
Prayer for summer solstice.
You have to be honest, you know, a little at least.
You do. You are so would accustomed be nice, to it. It would be nice to see somebody actually stand up and have an ideological, you know, like, this is just wrong. We don't do this because it's America and we do the right thing. But I, you know, there's a great book and I can't remember the name, but I heard an interview with the author Bible. Who.
The Kama Sutra.
Yes. Yes. 21 sex positions for you and your family. No,
yes.
It was a book on Lincoln and his changing and evolving views on slavery and how most people would probably be shocked to know that he actually at one point advocated for letting blacks all go back to Africa. And so, you know, I think what we expect out of our politicians sometimes is more than we're willing to allow them to fulfill or to do. Like we say we want politicians who will stick to their convictions, but yet we won't let them.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah,
what are you saying? I don't get
so, for example, like I think oftentimes people just say, you know, politicians, all they do is lie. Well, we kind of demand that they lie because we don't want to hear the truth.
Right.
So I think it's to put that much responsibility on one individual to be ideologically pure or ideologically correct or ideologically the way that we believe is sort of a.
Well, when it comes to something like marriage equality, I really do think that there is a right and there's a wrong on this issue. I don't think it's just a matter of perspective. I think that if you think that gay marriage is wrong, that your perspective is absolutely fucked, that it's denial. It's kind of like when I was a smoker for 18 years and I'd come up with all of these reasons to justify why I could continue to smoke or continue to smoke for another week. Or, you know, like I thought that, you know, quitting was inevitable, but not this week or starting Monday or whatever. It's all a process of denial and rationalization. But at the end of the day, my smoking was wrong. And that's why I love hearing and seeing a lot of these YouTube clips where you've had these state legislators who come out, and even if they're in the GOP, they come out and they say, you know what? And one of them in New York, his quotation was something like, you know, he actually said, fuck it. Like, this is this is not about politics. It's not about Democrat or Republican. This is an issue of right and wrong. And
yeah, but wrong, I mean, somebody could say, though, I mean, it's, I understand that feeling. And I, you know, I have those same feelings when I see those videos, but where were they 10 years ago when DOMA came out, when they were passing DOMA?
But see, the thing is that, yeah,
they were willing to do it now because the political climate allows people to make those statements.
But the thought has changed too. The discourse has changed.
Okay. I'm going to get a little philosophical, so I apologize in advance. So, yes, I do believe that this is an issue of right and wrong, but I also believe that there needed to be a time of political debate about the issue of marriage equality that there hadn't been 10 years ago. So 10 years ago, I'm going to give you an analogy. So at one time, people believed that the world was flat, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And this was an underlying assumption that people made about the world. It was unquestioned and it affected the way people calculated things like astronomy and sciences and cartography. I mean, everybody just thought that the world was flat and it constrained and enabled every single type of truth claim that could be made. Well, I believe that when it comes to the issue of gay rights, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, certainly 30 years ago, people started off with the underlying assumption, because there was this residue, that homosexuality was incorrect, that it was a mental disorder, that it was, you know, homosexuals were a vector of disease. And there really
wasn't... You're saying that people have evolved on their view of homosexuality.
Right. But more than that, it's that their very underlying assumptions that constrain and enable the way they think of all of these other issues, like gay marriage, these other seemingly more complicated issues, they can't really form an opinion about like right or wrong unless the foundational issue of who gay people are, what is their place in the world, that that there was.
So you're saying that basically those people could not be willing to stand up for what they believe in because they couldn't believe in it because they didn't have the arguments to sort of make those beliefs.
Not even the arguments, they couldn't even begin to fathom those arguments because the way that their brain and psyche was structured, it's kind of like if you go into a science believing that the world is flat, and that's just something that you believe to be automatically true. Like
yeah,
that premise
I think, you know, your premise that okay, so there are people that are coming out for it and supporting it and you know, taking an actual stand, and those stands actually mean something. I think a lot of times though, you know, politicians are politicians and they see this, they obviously see that the wind's changing. And so they're trying to set themselves apart. They're trying to,
yes,
you know, do all the things that politicians do. So there is a certain amount of grief and a certain amount of frustration at a person like Obama, whom you'd think if anyone was going to be supporting this issue publicly. At the same time, though, he's, you know, running headlong, I would imagine, into the reality of the American political system and being the president of the United States, which... he's got all these other people telling him you can't do this. Now, that ultimately he is going to be judged for his choices in this issue. So in that, I certainly agree. Like the time is right for people to start making these, you know.
I love the guy who said, I forget where he was from, but he said, it was a YouTube clip I saw. He was a state legislator somewhere and he said, how many gay people does God have to make before you get that he intends for them to be here?
Right.
And I thought that was such a profound.
And there was another one just the other day during that vote in New York. And it was a Republican, just a normal Republican. It was like a businessman. He wasn't even emotional about it. He's just like, well, this is the right thing to do. I've decided. Duh. No emotion. You know, no big deal. It's just, this is part of business.
Right. And I don't want to take anything away from the Republican people who did, you know, in terms of party line, flip on this issue in New York, because I don't believe that these are just people who are bending to the whims of the people and stuff. Although overwhelmingly in New York, the populace does support gay marriage. But I think it took courage for them to do what they did. And those are the type of people who, even though they're Republican, I would think twice,
yes,
you know, about listening to them, because they have conviction to stand up for the things that they do believe are right, compared to all of those other Republicans,
right,
who, like I said, I think at this point, at this moment in history, especially if you live in a state like New York, if you continue to believe in your own bullshit that homosexuality is wrong, there's a problem with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it shows that these particular politicians, who are rare, can think for themselves. And that's, that's the one thing I did like about Newt Gingrich, is that he is capable of independent thought, and he would come to his own conclusions independent of the party line. And that's all I really want. And, you know, it's sad that I would have to see this in a Republican, because I'm not a Republican. I don't vote for Republicans. It would be a rare exception.
Because insofar as, you know, his ideology is not he's not beholden to the Republican Party.
Right.
So
I just want people to think for themselves, whether they're Republican or Democrat. That's just where they're leaning. But they should be able to think for themselves. They should not be governed completely by politics to the point where you have to figure out what they're thinking. That's just bullshit. It's not fair, and it underestimates the intelligence of the American public, which, granted, deserves to be underestimated. But Democrats aren't stupid. Sorry.
Can we go on to a next topic? I think we're beating a dead horse, and we all agree. It's kind of like we're preaching to the choir. Oh, I just farted. Can we talk about that fabulous Casey Anthony?
Who's that?
Let's talk celebrity news.
I have
let's
no idea who you're talking
news.
About.
I've been doing that for the last week, and the last thing I want to talk about is fucking People Magazine. Thank you.
I don't even
much.
Know who the fuck you're talking about.
Oh, Casey Anthony is the biggest star hailing out of Florida this year. She's the woman who allegedly killed her very young daughter. And
oh, is this one of those Nancy Grace things?
Yeah.
Kaylee and Casey?
This trial is probably one of the biggest courtroom, televised courtroom trials since the O.J. Simpson trial. And I love it. I want Casey Anthony and Jorjan Vandersloot from the Aruban Vandersloots yes. to hook up. I love every bit of it. Now, granted, I haven't seen any of the trial,
Hey, Madge, do you have a gun?
No.
Because I would like to shoot Reagan in the face.
Reagan, I can't handle another Jorjan Vandersloot. I mean, that's all you talked about for like 6 years.
Did you happen to notice the news that OJ confessed?
No.
No.
What? Seriously?
Are you kidding me that you missed the story? I only know the story.
I think this was another blackout. You had a dream that OJ Simpson confessed and now you're convinced.
No. Okay, so allegedly, well, you know that Oprah's biggest like wet dream in the world is to interview and she wants it for her new network, is to interview OJ and have him admit during the interview that he killed Ron and Nicole. So then came a report last week that a producer was meeting with OJ in prison and that he admitted that he killed Ron and Nicole, but it was self-defense, that she came to the door with a knife and hilarity ensued.
Hilarity ensued.
She came to the door with a knife?
What'd you say?
She came to the door with a knife?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But then the producer came out and said that the story was absolutely false, which, you know, if you're trying to break the biggest news story of 10 years ago.
Well, didn't OJ write a book called I Did It, but it didn't get published?
Like, If I Did It or something. Oh. But yeah, so now they're trying to say that he didn't say that. But anyway, I thought if we're going to talk pointless pop culture criminals.
Yeah. The thing is, before this show, I took an enormous shit that was almost in perfect circle.
Oh, that's good, though. Circle poos are good. Yeah, circle poos are very good. I've increased my daily fiber intake, FYI. Just thought all you should know.
I don't like the word poo.
What do you prefer?
Duty.
Shit.
I have a bit of celebrity news.
Okay.
I had a visitor this weekend, Cheryl Murkowski.
Your period?
I wish. Oh, my God. It's been years. No, Cheryl Murkowski came to visit me for the weekend.
Oh, my God. Did y'all do it?
We prolapsed. Mm-hmm. She had dinner with my family. We had fish tacos. And she came to the Coco Dorm with me and met...
Cheryl was at the Coco Dorm. Please describe, explain. I want to know everything. Well,
you'll have to wait to hear it on my own program.
You know, I would
Yeast
like
Radio.
Speaking of the Coco Dorm, can we please just point out shameless self-promotion that this
that you
last
gave out
weekend,
enemas.
I was the only drag queen in the world to give out enemas at a pride parade.
But I don't understand this. There's no blacks in Minneapolis. Why would you need to give out Fleet enemas?
Honey.
White guys get Shitty Kitty too.
Yeah, but they don't use Fleet.
I don't necessarily think that was the best thing to do, Wanda, because enemas are not good, and enemas actually can make people more prone
to dutying.
Not just dutying, but to diseases. It like dries you up. So I think that
these are specifically designed for the anus, and my understanding
is
the usual the sodium whatever douches. These are Fleet Naturals, they're called, and they're ripe with aloe.
Oh,
and anyway, I have no fucking clue.
Wanda, did they sponsor you or what? I mean, or did you just thought it would be funny?
The lovely people at Fleet Naturals.
Oh my God.
Have decided that they want gay men to, you know, buy their water in a box, and and they add a little bit of aloe.
Okay, Wanda, seriously, I hate to talk shop here, but seriously, we go through so many Fleets at the Coco Dorm. Seriously, we buy them by the crate. I'm not even joking. But I've been trying to tell them we tell them to dump it out because the chemicals are horrible and it just makes them shit all over the goddamn bed. I can't use that footage.
But do the Fleet Naturals, right. Really, it's a separately marketed product.
Right. I didn't know that, but that's what I'm saying. Can you hook me up with some of them?
Oh, sure.
Because we'll, you know, we'll
I
put it on
I wish you were
screen.
Here because literally in our front lobby, we have a wall of douche.
Seriously, can you please send me some? I know you're lazy as fuck and you won't, but please do.
That's can a lot you? Of shipping. But
I made my neighbor friend Rachel come with me to the Pleasure Chest, which is a sex supply store in Hollywood or West Hollywood, because I needed to get a, those little bulbs that you fill up with water and then you douche out your kitty with.
Really? Are you getting some?
Maybe. And so I didn't want to go there alone because I don't know. I mean, remember back in the day when you actually had to go to a store to buy pornography? I was always so nervous about it. And just, it was always a horrifying experience for me. And because it's so private and then you're making it so public. So I didn't want to go in there and get the little douchey thing by myself.
Yes.
So I made her come with me and we walked in the store. She was so sweet to come with me. And the first thing that I said when the lady at the front counter.
It's for her.
I said, it's for my her. Friend is looking for an anal douche. Where do you keep them?
That's horrible.
And then when we got back to, because we live in the same building, I was like, do you mind if I do it over at your apartment?
So what? Reagan, how long has Matt been staying at your with you?
Shut up. Yeah.
Who's your boyfriend? You got a boyfriend?
Yes.
What's that?
Wanda, do you douche?
Moon poon. No,
absolutely. Well, if I'm taking it up the ass, I do.
When I'm staying at an undisclosed location in Florida, I do, because my friend has a bidet and it's such a strong bidet that it actually is a douche. If you don't clamp down while that thing is squirting your heel, it just goes right up there and you get that cold feeling in your belly. It's amazing. It's
I know that cold feeling that you're talking about. I know it well.
If a politician ever campaigned on the platform of putting a bidet in every house, that person would get my vote, regardless of what they think about gay marriage, even though it's obvious. Okay.
Yeah.
The bidet initiative.
Yes. Even in homeless shelters. Especially in homeless shelters. Yeah. Well, that's fascinating. I'm a little jealous of the enema thing because, I mean, I don't know how that happens to you. I'm the one that needs the goddamn Fleet Naturals.
I know. I was sort of, it was a serendipitous opportunity. But the worst part was, okay.
Yes.
There, the gay pride parade, I don't know if you've been to a gay pride parade in the last few years. Have you?
I was there this weekend, unfortunately.
Well, and I don't know what it's like in Chicago or in Los Angeles, but... here in Minneapolis, it's very family oriented.
Yes,
now.
Yes, it is. It's very much a like show for normal people to come and watch, so they can show off their ugly rainbow gear that doesn't match anything.
Yes, but we even had like a 1-800 junk truck.
Excuse me.
In ours, that's how banal our gay pride.
Yeah, it turns into a big marketing thing. It's very commercial and annoying.
But so we had these throngs of ne'er-do-well children just, you know, teeming up and down the street, and
oh my god,
from the junk truck.
No. But I was on a giant trolley,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I had my minions, my trolley tramps, handing out enemas, and you had all of these poor children.
Getting enemas?
No, wanting like the free shit, and they would run up to the trolley and be like, "We want one!" And I gave specific instructions to the trolley people to make sure they handed them out to children, because what I wanted was like a headline to read: "Drag queen gives children enemas during pride parade."
I'm sending a note to my boss right now via email saying next time let's buy Fleet Naturals. Seriously, because I didn't even know that exists.
I bet you need, you know, I really would suggest that you contact their marketing people because they're promoting the hell out of all sorts of things right now. There are a bunch of events and things that they've been doing. Anyway, the other thing was big lesbians would come up because, you know, lesbians like free shit.
Lesbians love free t-shirts. Reagan taught me that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. So they would run up and want free shit, and then the trolley tramps would say no, and they'd get angry, and they'd almost beat them, and then they would get one and look at it and go, I don't want this shit.
Yeah.
I don't want this. Really? Because in my experience, it doesn't matter what you give a lesbian. She will love it, as long as it's free.
What is this? You just sent me, Reagan, in the mail.
Oh, isn't that hilarious? I sent it to Wanda, too. Wanda, check your email.
I don't understand it. Asteroid path, political gaffe jar on the web. What does that even mean?
I just thought that the juxtaposition was so funny. Like on one side you have, so I sent it to your Gmail account.
Okay.
So it's a Yahoo top news story. So you have pictures, but they're juxtaposing two stories with a juxtaposition of two pictures. The picture to the right is a picture of Michelle Bachmann blowing a kiss to what you assume is a crowd of people.
Or a rock. And
then the picture with a big like diamond ring on her hand. And then the picture on the left is a picture of an asteroid hurling itself towards the Earth.
It really is brilliant because the position, like the images look alike. You know, you have the rock. You got the diamond, you've got the Earth, and you got her stupid head.
Right.
It's hysterical. I mean,
the tilt of it is like, oh, it's hysterically funny.
Whoever did this is very, very, they're probably going to be on our program. Yeah,
will be fired. Oh, so Wanda, you know how you were saying that gay pride has become so commercial, and I agree with that. But at the same time, we have to keep into consideration what has really helped the trajectory of gay rights, and that is the commodification of the gay community, the way that
we live in it. Yeah, I mean, that's not a surprise. That's been true for the last probably 10 years.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm not as smart.
How so? How so? Wait, I want to elaborate on this.
No, I just think you're absolutely right is what I'm saying. I mean, the fact that we live in a capitalist society, when the capitalist system starts to treat us like everyone else, that's a sign of success. I mean, when I worked at Target, the fact that in some respect, corporate America's willingness to embrace things like domestic partnership benefits, even though they're still completely separate and not equal, was a sign that things were, you know, marching toward. And perhaps in some ways more momentous than, you know, the slow moving system of government that we have.
But. Speaking of commodification of the gays, can we talk about something? What about this new video from Lady Gaga? Did she not blow all her money by charging only a dollar for her album that she couldn't afford a fucking
This is
cast?
My friend Peter Brackey has this whole thing about how this is the worst marketing job for an album in the history of music. How, first of all, you can't be, well, never mind. I'm very afraid of saying anything negative about Lady Gaga because then people will try to kill me. People get the pitchforks. And
you know, one thing I found out about this, though, this was not her charging a dollar. Amazon actually paid the full price of the album. It was their marketing.
Well, listen, my niece was singing that song, Edge of Glory, and it reminded me of when Crystal Meth Tweakers Edge, you know, edging.
Yes.
And I had to slap her.
Yeah. Well, and then they tried to act. Okay, so the first song, Born This Way, comes out, which is so ridiculous, that song. But it was a huge hit. Then the second song, Judas, comes out. I actually like Judas more than I like Born This Way. It was a very mild hit for Lady Gaga. And then suddenly they released like four singles all at the same time. So they didn't stand behind any single. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, here's You and I, and here's Hair, and here's Edge of Glory. It's kind of like nobody knew what to throw their support behind.
It wasn't like when Michael Jackson's Thriller came out, and you'd have one song a month, and they would each be a huge hit.
Right, you know. Right. Take your time with it. You know, get behind a single, then do a music video. Like, give it some, it's like a wine. Let it breathe a little. Yes. And the crazy thing about that album is I'm not crazy about the album whenever I'm listening to it on my iPod, but whenever I'm out at a bar and I hear Edge of Glory or, you know, one of those songs, I actually like it in the context of a bar. It's very odd.
If you think she's like wine, well, let's clarify this. She's like Sutter Home. Sutter Home really doesn't need to breathe.
You mean but Boone's maybe this Farm?
That too.
This could have been the best thing to happen to her because now she's been knocked off of her horse a bit. She, you know, she can come down to earth a little bit more than she's been and start producing really good music again. And that's the most important thing because she is very talented and
I have to believe that if she is closer to the music that she's putting out, it's going to be better. So the sooner she can get off, you know, have all like these 3 million people between her and the actual music. I think the better off she's going to be, because that first album was just so good.
It was like she, it was like she's just using GarageBand and screaming and then turning the compressor all the way up. I don't even get it. Like, anybody could produce this garbage. I mean, it's just shit. Talking about the latest stuff.
Did you like, what do you think about Britney's album?
Oh my God, now we're getting in too deep. I have no idea about it. I didn't know she had one. Sorry. Oh. I'm sure Reagan has something to say about it. Reagan?
What? Sorry. Ooh. I was reading a text message. Sorry, I have a whole different show that I have to do later today. Right. Well, a Big Brother show. So my brain is in a million pieces.
One that actually has an audience. Oh, that reminds me, I'm going to be in LA this Sunday for about an hour and then I'm flying right back. I'm doing a mileage run. It's fucking devastating.
A mileage run?
I have a retarded boss and he likes me. He wants me to have status with American Airlines so you get free upgrades and shit. So he sends me on these long trips so that I can get miles towards elite status. It's completely insane because right now you get double miles if you fly from Chicago to LA. Which is why I've been flying from Chicago to LA and back, just like for no reason.
My God, it's like you're an indentured servant.
Yes, and I'm not even pliable.
But I love this because it's like opposite slavery. I love it.
Oh no, it's regular direction slavery too. Trust me, just not with me.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay, got it.
Sort of the whole shtick?
It's fucking awful. I mean, to sit on a plane and not even get anywhere, and when your nose gets those hard boogers in them from, do you guys get that?
Oh yeah.
When you're flying, your nose turns into the Empire State Building on the inside. It's fucking off. I hate it.
We need to talk about something controversial because something somebody said in the comments, which I agree on. We need to at least with one of the topics we discuss every week, it needs to be a topic where we don't all agree on it.
Okay.
Because like even the topics today, it's like, I believe this, and we get up on our soapbox, and then everybody was like, yeah, I agree with it too, but just a little bit more than you believe in it.
Okay.
So we need to pick a contentious topic.
Vaginal yeast.
Indian doctors performing sex changes on young girls.
I think it's great.
Fantastic.
I think it's horrible.
Really? Why?
I don't know. If you're going to do it to girls, you might as well do it to boys.
That's a stupid argument. Be real.
No.
Come on. There's nothing wrong with it. God, why do you have to be so anti-gay? That's like hypocritical.
Why do you have to be a fucking lesbian?
Listen.
Lesbian.
Please don't hate on the lesbians just because you give out Fleet enemas. Are we disagreeing enough?
Yeah. Okay, so since we're about to wrap up, yeah. Right?
Oh, wait, one more. Can I just say this? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Katy Perry is amazing.
Florida grandfather caught having sex with his dog.
So?
Oh. That's so
what
horrible.
Kind of dog was it? Not a chihuahua.
He was. Oh no! His grandson found him naked and trying to have sex with a dog.
What kind of doggy?
A 3-year-old family bulldog.
And was Grandpa the top or the bottom?
He was on top of the pet.
Okay, so Grandma's got advanced Alzheimer's disease, clearly.
By his own admission, he was trying to have sex with the dog. However, he was unable to insert his penis.
Oh. Are you sure it wasn't Cheryl Murkowski?
Do you know that they said, oh my God, this is hilarious.
Yes.
Quote, yes. The pooch was turned over to animal control. I just think that's hilarious that, you know, he was trying
like
to get
the dog was
ass.
The bad guy.
Well, no.
Arrest the dog. We're going to have to put the dog to sleep.
Arrest. Why? That's the victim. That's I know it was all my fault.
But no, the fact that they used the...
Yeah. What about...
That's what we do with women rape victims all the time. It's like we treat them like they're criminals.
Well,
so let's arrest this. Let's arrest this dog. Let's euthanize him because why? Because he was too damn sexy. His owner couldn't resist his soul.
I just thought it was funny that they used the word pooch.
He had a dress in that hot collar. And drooling all sexy like. Snorting. Oh my God, that's demented. Well, but we didn't disagree. Hello.
We didn't even disagree about that. But I think that was kind of one of, that wasn't.
No, I'm sorry. I just saw it and I thought that this screams.
I know what we can disagree on. Oh, I have a good one, but it probably is. Oh, well, let's just do it. I film bareback porn. Comments?
You film bareback. Oh, you know what? I'm sure we won't all agree on this. I don't think that bareback porn is, I don't think that it should be allowed.
Oh, okay. I guess I don't know, have as much of an opinion on the issue as I feel comfortable making an opinion about it. I mean, I can understand why people would be against it.
In the same way that I don't think that, like, for instance, I believe that prostitution should be legalized because I don't understand why prostitution is illegal, but porn is legal. Mm-hmm. That makes absolutely no sense to me. In the same way that I think that people should engage in safe sex if they're paying for it, if you're commodifying sex and possibly taxing it and all that stuff. I think that you have to make an investment in public safety, and I think the same thing with the porn industry.
Well, you know what I find interesting, and I will say that I'm torn with it, if you'll pardon the pun. But I really don't like doing it, and I would much rather not be, and I would love to be in a situation where I don't need to do this to pay rent. But and I also do most of the porn I film is condom. The problem is, it's like the 80-20 rule. About 20% of the porn, which is bareback, brings in 80% of the money. People don't buy condom porn by a factor of like 8 to 10. They want bareback porn. That's what people buy. So it's not just... So if you ban it, then, you know, you're not just banning... In other words, it's the whole supply chain. It's just like drugs. Like, you know, it's not just because people are selling drugs that there's a drug problem. It's because people want them too. And the other part of it is that, you know, all porn companies that I know of, including ours, test people for HIV. And granted, it's limited. Granted, there's a window, and it's very, very risky and horrible. But they do test, and they have some idea of each other's status. I find that in the general mass gay community, that's not the case. They don't have that. They don't have any sort of, you know, somebody can either not say they're negative or positive, not even give their status and have bareback sex, or they'll lie about it.
That's true.
So I don't know. But
the difference in my mind is one is being commodified, the other's not.
Mm-hmm. So I guess for me, I can understand, like with anything, if people want it, they're mm-hmm. going to get it. And I would be a little concerned that if an industry says we are absolutely not going to participate in this, then the only way that people are going to get what they want is by allowing shoddy, unregulated, uncaring people to produce what it is that they want.
Well, that's all you have now. Come on.
So, well, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Please, the porn is disgusting business.
So I'm just saying that, you know,
yeah.
Intellectually, well, it seems to me that, you know, if you ban it, it's going to happen anyway, and you're just going to put more people at risk.
It is. But also, and at least there is some regulation. It's not regulation, it's self-regulation. But what do you think about, straight porn is all bareback. Well, should that be banned as well? Or just gay porn being
That's definitely a double standard, mm-hmm. I think. Definitely.
Well, it's kind of like the whole blood donation thing, double standard. Like,
that's the worst.
We fear, you know, gay people's body fluids, whether it's semen or blood, in a way that's based wholly in fear and not in rational science. So, right.
Well, let me ask you personally, which porn do you like better, personally, each of you? Bareback or condom? Or none?
Bareback.
I don't, you know, like I am, like here's my porn consumption. I guess visually a penis and an ass without a condom is more exciting, but I don't seek out specifically.
I'm not looking specifically for bareback or.
Like I'm looking for a big man.
But if you see a bareback porn, do you turn it off?
No.
No, what? Absolutely not. No.
Okay.
I'm keeping it real. Like, I know that's hypocritical, mm-hmm. but like I said, I dance around with hypocrisy, so I don't mind.
We're human.
Well, I don't know. I feel I'm certainly being hypocritical because, and I don't think we're disagreeing enough, but I think right. like, I know that any rationale that comes out of my mouth is going to be defending the fact that I do it. So it's almost impossible for me to discuss it, even though I brought it up, because it's not going to be fair. Because the truth is, I think it's disgusting. I don't like doing it. I feel like it's morally the worst thing I ever do. You know, in my current life. And I think it's horrible.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was having a conversation with Stephen Daigle, who is the gay guy from Big Brother.
Yes.
10, who's now in the porn industry. Yeah. And he was saying that when he first got into porn, Shishi LaRue was saying, you know, kind of like half jokingly, half, you know, being serious, hey, you know, would you like to be in one of my films? And Shishi actually did the same thing with me after I got out. Mm-hmm. And Stephen finally was like, you know what, if you're serious about this, I would be interested in doing it. And Shishi, and this is one of the reasons why I love Shishi LaRue, Shishi sat Stephen down, or, you know, had a telephone conversation with him, and just like, here is the reality of gay porn, and you need to understand kind of like some of the darker sides of the gay porn industry before you make a decision, mm-hmm. because once you make this decision, you can't go back. You can't undo porn.
So what were those things?
I don't want to get too much into the specifics of it, just because I don't want to, you know, like, I don't want to breach any type of confidence, or, you right. know, I don't think it's a conversation that's really mine to put out there in any specific terms. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that there probably is a very dark side to porn, and particularly a side that's only too happy to eat up people, chew them up and spit them out.
Well, you know, being in it, I can speak about it. I'm not betraying anyone's confidence. It's you know, the people that go into it basically are, it's just like construction. And you know, Wanda, I know, you know, a lot of people who have been in the, you know, in sort of had pathetic lives, you know, and they're trying to get back on their feet. They can't yeah. get jobs if they've been felons. A lot of that is true yeah. in porn. They're criminals. The people that do that are, that run the businesses, are basically pimps. And it's just not something that you feel a warm fuzzy doing in yeah. any aspect. There's a lot of, like, have you ever been in jail? This is a terrible question, because
I've been in a holding cell before.
Okay,
no, same. I've never.
Well, you know how like those, that environment is disgusting and everybody's swearing yes. and talking about cum. It's just like that. It's just like this environment of disgusting. And it also, like, I find that being in it turns me off to relationships in a very unhealthy way. Like, it really just forces me to lose some of my humanity being in it. It's very hard to describe. Well, it's very disgusting.
Gay porn is very, and this can be a point where maybe we have differing opinions, but I believe that gay porn does horrible things by and large to the gay psyche, because gay men insist in their gay pornography the erasure of gay identity. So so much gay porn is premised on the idea of, you have these actors who are really straight, they're gay for pay, mm-hmm. and you have, you know, like Bait Bus, which claims to fool straight guys, even though it's all fiction, you know, fool these supposedly straight guys into getting blowjobs from gay guys. Yes. And then when the straight guy finds out, they take off, you know, the thing covering his eyes, and he's screaming these anti-gay slurs like, are you fucking faggot? I'm not fucking gay. And then he gets offered $1,000. He's like, okay, I guess I'll fuck his ass for $1,000, but I get to fuck the chick at the end, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, we demand out of gay porn a level of heterosexuality that not even heterosexual people possess. And right. I get it. You know, I understand. I think it's a very complex.
Okay, well, now you realize 90% of that is fake. And that may not even anything to do with your point.
No. Yeah. I totally understand that. Okay. Like, I get that it's fake. But even in our fiction,
why should it be that way? Yeah.
Well, it's sad, because what it really says is that, but hopefully, here's the hopeful thing about it. Well, first, the shitty thing is that it's really just echoes of the oppression that, you know, we've suffered for generations. And hopefully now that people, I mean, this is, again, wishful thinking, but hopefully as our own culture and our own, well, as our own identity changes, our own perception of ourselves changes, so then changes at some point the culture, and then things like the way we perceive ourselves. And I'd be interested actually in seeing if anybody's looking at how our perceptions of ourselves as seen through pornography is changing, versus those same.
I've done a little bit of work in this, and I've wanted to do more, but it's very, the angle of how to go about doing it is kind of difficult, and I'm still trying to figure it out. But one of the connections that I've made is that a lot of my research is autoethnographic, meaning that I start with my own personal experiences and then connect my personal experiences to broader cultural phenomena. And I liken it to when I was in high school, some of the boys who brutalized me the most were also the people who showed up in my sexual fantasies the most.
Yeah, I think I understand that.
There's this weird connection between, brutalization and sexual fantasy. It's a little bit like Stockholm syndrome in a way, but Stockholm syndrome.
It almost sounds like it's
by sexualizing that which that
objectifying
which fearful,
that which is objectifying.
It takes
us.
It takes well in a way it takes the power away from you know.
Oh my God, this is so weird because my dog Trotsky is behind me on the bed humping the shit out of his teddy bear right now.
Oh,
it's weird.
You fuck him back. Fuck that bulldog.
See, what I would be interested in knowing is whether or not the sort of like mainstreaming of gay identity turns into more subverting of a specifically gay identity or, well, you know, how it changes.
I can tell you this, that everything that goes on in porn is basically is almost, well, Grindr is a sort of a direct reflection of whatever is popular in porn at the moment. Like all these profiles on Grindr are like mask prof. And that's what you see in porn. I see a lot of stuff in porn now that's coming up like these fake fights. Like you'll see two guys real beefy and masculine looking and they're like punching each other. They start, it's almost like a boxing match and then they start fucking each other while they're punching each other. It's very weird. And you see that. And I see the same thing in Grindr. So I think what the reality in how gay men socialize, at least sexually, is a direct reflection of what goes on in porn.
Well, yeah, that's in a way how it's sort of sick or what's circular, right? Because
yes.
Porn then creates porn influences the culture.
Right.
So culture influences.
But it's also influenced by the culture. I mean, look at how much the gay porn industry has changed with the advent of reality television. Yeah. Now what is sexy in porn is the more realistic it is.
Right.
So it went from these, like, I can't even watch big studio like Falcon produced or Bellamy produced, even though Bellamy is going more to the root of reality. But anything that's way overproduced or has music, I'm just like, ugh, so unsexy to me.
Right.
And places like Corbin Fisher and Sean Cody and Randy Blue is all more realistic. But even that is not realistic enough because now you have all of these people who are shooting home pornography and posting it on XTube and GayTube. Like my favorite pornography right now, this is TMI, but I don't care. I love homemade glory hole porn. Like, I love it. This is what I love about it. Because it for me, it really does allow me to explore fantasy because I am the last person in the world. Like, anonymous sex to me is just not interesting. Like, it's just not, for me personally, like, I could never hook up with somebody anonymously because I need kind of a connection in some way to go there at this point in my life. But because it's so far out there for me, that is also what is intriguing to me, that two people who don't even look at each other can have this sexual encounter. I don't know. It's fascinating.
Yes.
Oh, sure. It's safe, and you still get to have that fantasy of what you don't allow yourself.
Now,
which
I,
just,
I have to tell you, I put a marker on this program where you said, I like glory hole porn. And as lazy as I am, I wasn't ever planning on doing that thing where we did before.
Teasers.
Yeah, but I think I might have to for this.
Okay, we need to wrap up. And we need to, the last conversation I think we need to have is, I think we definitely need to have a guest co-host come on.
Okay.
And I need to tell you, although I should probably wait until after the show, I need to do it a little bit later on Tuesdays because summer school ends for me this week and I'm not going to be able to wake up this early.
Okay, let's talk after.
Okay. So who do you, maybe we should go into the forums. Where I have to say that people, I want to give credit where it's due. The Eat This Hot Show audience, overwhelmingly the people who commented, I think we got 50 comments on the last show. They were really mature and awesome and very supportive and not, I was very impressed by, I would say 95% of the comments. Good job, audience.
Yeah, I like the comments.
Okay. So some of the suggestions that we got.
Frankenbury.
Frankenbury.
Mm-hmm.
What do y'all think? Just like off the top of your head.
Whoever can do it with the least amount of trouble and coordination is whoever can do it at the same time we're doing it.
I think people who are not people who are sort of unrelated to
the gay community, straight.
Yeah. Like, because I think people, you know, I mean, we can trot through all the usual suspects, but I don't know that really
somebody lends. Let's bring in that element of different.
Yeah, because we have a lot of common ground, the three of us. It'd be nice to find somebody who doesn't. Yeah. I always like Bicycle Mark. I always think he's good. I certainly like having Rachel on there, even though she talks too much.
I would like to get somebody just completely different, you know, like for the first one, at least somebody who's just. Somebody who will have a different opinion, like somebody who, even like one of our friends, you know how everybody has their like Republican friend.
Yeah.
Like I think that would be an interesting choice to have on. I just have to think.
Yeah, I can't think. I know what you're talking about. I mean, it can be somebody as extreme as Shirley Phelps, but somebody who would disagree with us enough.
Preferably someone who's not going to lick your asshole,
right?
Or fawn all over you with gaping
genitals.
Well, we can figure it out. We have a week to figure it out. So maybe if listeners, you know, if you have
basically Michelle Bachmann,
that would be amazing.
What we have to
do
is we have to convince her that we're some sort of Iowa for families.
I would like a pro-gay politician or even not.
Well, you know what? Just tell her, just say Reagan from Big Brother. And she probably has no idea what the television show Big Brother is, but she's probably a big advocate of Big Brother in terms of. The government.
Like the George Orwell,
She's a big sister. She's got like 20-something adopted children. So
yeah, maybe if you say Reagan from Big Brother, she'll think you said Reagan from Big Brother's Big Sisters.
Wanda, you know a lot of people in different things, politicians and stuff. Don't you know people who might be in that? Like, I'm thinking somebody who would be like, who would maybe see things from a more practical point of view in terms of politics.
Somebody who's
in that different.
Pontificate from there. Right. Yeah.
Somebody who's like in that system or something, I think.
Sure. Yeah, I'll think about it. I'm sure we could find. You know, yes. I could probably get Jason Matheson.
Who's that?
He's a television host.
Yeah, but he's an entertainment reporter, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, I love him. Get him.
No.
Get him.
I don't care. I mean, you know.
I think Reagan is enough of an entertainment reporter, personally.
Okay.
But
maybe we could get the Kansas Luann Dillaceps from the Real Housewives of New York.
You know what? Real Housewife was the Grand Marshal at the parade here last weekend.
Who?
Some I don't know. I don't watch the show. Some fucking lesbo from one of the Real Housewives with a bunch of muscles. You know who I'm talking about?
Oh, from the Real Housewives of OC?
Probably. She looks like Fernanda. A man. She's a man.
Fernanda Roca?
Yes.
But Fernanda looks like a woman. Like, Fernanda's beautiful. She's a beautiful lesbian.
Whatever.
Oh, do you mean DJ Tracy Young?
No, not her. Tracy Young is on Real Housewives?
Well, she was dating Kim Zolciak from the Real Housewives of Atlanta.
No, it's not her or him.
Okay. Okay, so anything to... This is where I imagine the music coming in.
I'm just afraid if we don't decide it now, it's not going
to happen. Thank you again for listening to another episode of Eat This Hot Show. I'm Wanda Wisdom, and you can listen to me at WandaWisdom.com when I'm not barebacking with black lesbians. On my right is Matt Weinstein of EastRadio.com.
Bye.
What was that? And on my left is the always loose and ready to go Reagan Fox.
Freshly clean.
Freshly clean. What website are you hawking these days?
If you go to ReaganFox.com, and they can get to it through our website, right?
Yes.
And our website, ladies, is EatThisHotShow.com. Now, remember that we're all working ladies of the podcastosphere, and so we need your support in order to continue this award-winning program. So go to our website, EatThisHotShow.com, and make sure to leave a donation so that, we can give a shit.
Yeah. If you like this program, give us money. If you don't, then don't listen and leave nasty comments instead and pretend you do.
Toodles.
Bye.